case, the United States versus Castro Opatia. Mr. DeCastro.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Pablo DeCastro arguing for the defendant Wilfredo Castro Opatia. Your Honor, obviously the Court has read the briefs. They're reasonably short. The arguments, I hope, will be similarly short. The question here is a little bit different than I think most other cases that have come up since Booker, in that the defendant is not asking for a sentence below the guidelines range. He's not asking the court, either in the sentencing court or this court, to impose a sentence below what the guidelines recommended, but rather within that range, where within that range should the particular defendant fall, and did the court properly take into account all of the aggravation and mitigation that was presented, and did he arrive at a reasonable sentence?
Am I right that the best you can come away with here is a 10-month change in sentence?
Yes, Your Honor. And as we stated in our brief, the 10 months may seem academic, but when you look at it from the point of view of the person who has to sit there for the extra 10 months, it was worth it to him to ask us to do this, and we felt it was incumbent upon us as his attorneys to present his question to this court. If the question is one of reasonableness, the defendant has the right to question whether it was reasonable, and the manner in doing that is to bring it to this court and ask this court for its review. It does not appear to us from the record that he was given appropriate consideration for the cooperation he attempted to give. The government was always candid in that in stating that the defendant's cooperation was truthful and complete. There was never any complaint. The only complaint was that it came too late to be of any use as against his co-defendants, and that there wasn't enough information to arrest or prosecute anybody else, and hence it did not qualify under their standards for a 5K departure. However, it was cooperation, and it was more than what would be required to simply get an acceptance of responsibility credit. Acceptance of responsibility, a defendant can come in and just plead guilty and accept that he's guilty of the conduct charged without anything more and get that credit. This defendant did go beyond that, and it doesn't appear that he got any credit for at least his attempts. For that reason, Your Honor, we're asking the court to remand the case to the sentencing court for further consideration of these factors.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Castro. Mr. Langner?
May it please the court, my name is Ben Langner, and I represent the United States in this case. In this case, the judge entered a sentence of 130 months. The guideline range here was 120 to 135 months, 120 months being the bottom end of the guidelines and also the mandatory minimum in this case. When entering this sentence, the judge went through a number of factors that it considered and that it felt justified the sentence that it was entering here. There are about four paragraphs on pages 41 and 42 of the sentencing transcript where the judge actually goes through each of the factors that it's considering. With respect to the nature and circumstances of the offense and the history and characteristics of the defendant, the court noted two factors that it felt were aggravating and then several factors in mitigation. In aggravation, it noted that this was an extremely serious offense. The defendant had attempted to import 2.5 kilograms of heroin into the United States. The amount of heroin that was being imported into the United States, I think, is of particular importance and was specifically mentioned by the court. That amount is 2.5 times the amount that was necessary to invoke the mandatory minimum here. The other aggravating factor was the defendant's significant role in this offense. The government's brief goes through each of the ways that this defendant gave instructions and directed other individuals, and the court noted that the defendant's involvement was extensive in this case, both in Colombia and in the United States. So the court acknowledged that this defendant led and directed the activities of his co-defendants and other individuals in an international scheme. In mitigation, the court noted that the defendant came in and met with the government and admitted his involvement in the offense. The court noted the defendant had only one prior arrest and a criminal history category of 1. The court noted that his wife and child may face hardship if he's incarcerated, and also noted that the defendant had asked for forgiveness from the court and from his wife and child. So after considering the nature and circumstances of this offense and the history and characteristics of the defendant, the court then went through and noted what the other factors under 3553 that it was considering, specifically that the sentence was a just punishment for the offense, that it was sufficiently severe to promote respect for the law, and to serve as a deterrent, that the public would be protected from the defendant. And also, although this defendant didn't need any particular treatment, the court also considered that factor. When you look at these four paragraphs and look at what the court considered, it's clear that the court actually considered any factor that the defendant presented and all the factors that he's raising in his brief. The defendant simply disagrees with how the court balanced the aggravating and mitigating circumstances here. And the defendant primarily relies on two different things or points to two different things that happened that he thinks require a sentence of 120 months, his cooperation with the government and his dropping an objection to the role in the offense enhancement. With respect to his cooperation, I think it's worth noting that this defendant had the opportunity to cooperate. The conduct here occurred between February and April of 2005. The defendant was arrested on June 17th of 2005. When he was arrested, only one of his two co-defendants had already been arrested and agreed to cooperate. So there still was another defendant that he could have cooperated against at that point in time and received the benefit that he's seeking here. But he decided not to do that. He waited 3 months. And by the time he was arrested, by the time he agreed to come in September 2005, there wasn't anybody else for him to cooperate against. So the effect of his cooperation was that he provided no further assistance to the government other than to just admit his guilt. This happens in many cases, and the government chooses not to reward somebody who comes in and isn't able to provide any further assistance than simply establishing their own guilt. And although the court can, and in this case did consider this in entering its sentence, it's not compelled to specify exactly how this cooperation benefited the defendant in his sentence. The second thing that the defendant raises is that he dropped an objection to the role in the offense enhancement. Essentially, what the defendant did is he dropped a meritless objection. Again, the government's brief goes through and lays out the number of ways that this defendant acted as a leader or organizer of the offense. He gave instructions to a co-defendant in Colombia. He led and directed that co-defendant's activities. He directed a relative of his to provide 25 million Colombian pesos to this co-defendant in order to procure this heroin. And he also instructed a second defendant in the United States to go and pick up and pay for the heroin when it arrived in Chicago. So the defendant's dropping of a meritless objection should really have no bearing on the sentence here. The court considered these factors and all the factors that the defendant presented to it, but didn't feel that those factors outweigh the seriousness of this offense and the significant role this defendant played. And the judge's discretion, its opinion as to what sentence was appropriate, was not unreasonable in this case. Unless there are any further questions, the government will rely on its brief on any remaining points and ask that the court uphold the sentence from the court below.
Thank you, Mr. Langer. Mr. DeCastro.
Again, Your Honor, just to respond a little bit, the government argument was that the court took into account this cooperation and that it is so stated in the transcript at page 41. I think while the court is going through the various factors that it considered, I think the court listed as dictated by this court's instructive opinions, the court went through and listed all of the factors that it considered. It listed all of the aggravating factors, the seriousness of the offense, his role in the offense, the need to promote justice. It does not appear that he gave any consideration to the cooperation that the defendant gave. To the extent that he mentions it, he follows it immediately with an indication that that somehow was covered by the acceptance of responsibility, that because the government had conceded that he should get the 3 points for acceptance, that was consideration enough for the cooperation. We believe that's incorrect and unreasonable. We believe the defendant went beyond merely accepting responsibility. The assistance he gave to the government in sitting down several times in several proffers would be, if nothing more, than to confirm what they already knew, to give background information against other individuals who might not be immediately arrested or prosecuted, but information that nonetheless is useful. It may not be useful enough to warrant a departure under 5K. That's up to the government. But what's up to the court is to give them some consideration for it in sentencing. Thank you.
Mr. Castro, thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.